I just want to let you know that Trish, our piano organ player, will be out for a couple of weeks due to health issues. And I would like to put this out there to you all that her and her family would, well, she doesn't want me to ask anybody, but we know that her and her family are hurting financially because she's not well. So if anyone would love to contribute to Trish and her family, just mark on your check or your envelope for Trish and family, and we will make sure that her family gets it. She's going to be away for 3 weeks right now, so, and if you could keep her in your prayers. Thank you very much.
Please join me in the call to worship. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Praise be to you, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In love, you predestined us to be adopted as your children through Jesus Christ in accordance with your pleasure and will.
To the praise of your glorious grace, which you have freely given us in the one you love.
In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of your grace that you lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding.
And you made known to us the mystery of your will according to your good pleasure, which you proposed in Christ to be effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under the head, even Christ.
Please join with us in How Great Thou Art.
I see your star, I hear your roar. bow in prayer with me. Good morning, Father. We do come before you in humble adoration, Father. We lift you up. We praise you, Lord. Father God, it seems fitting that there is rain on Memorial Day every few years. Tears from heaven to remind us that the reason for this holiday is not burgers and dogs and parties and fun. No, it is to remember. To pause and remember and to give respect to those men and women who have stood. They've stood up. They've stepped forward willingly or unwillingly. And they fought the country's battles for many years and unfortunately paid the ultimate cost. We pause during your prayer, Father. We pause to remember them and to lift them up to you. Some have had fancy funerals with all the fanfare, and they're remembered by many and cared for and decorated with flowers. And some died alone and were too soon forgotten. No one remembers them or gives them the respect that's their due. They are all highly valued in your eyes, dear Lord. They are all now in your care. And as we pause to praise and honor you, Lord, we hurtingly lift up the 20 or so men or women veterans who will commit suicide this day. Average 20 veterans every day. What horror, what pain they must carry. May they find a way to fill that horror with you. Fill the empty spaces with your love, your forgiveness, and your peace. Father, you are the reason that we are here today. You are our everything, our rock, our foundation we build our lives on. And through you, they are the reason that we are free and safe to worship you. And through you, they are the reason that the evil of the world and the wars of the world are fought and ended on foreign land. You are the reason we can battle our own demons and make it through to tomorrow. We need you so much, we love you so much, and we never want to take you for granted. Let us join together in your praise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Morning. Sorry, I didn't know that statistic about the 20. Our first reading is from Psalm 103, and that is on page 482 in your Pew Bible. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heavens are from the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, and to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, obedient to his spoken word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers that do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And our second reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, and that's on page 949 in your pew Bible. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the Lord God of all of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet, and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And this is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated, and kids, you can come on up now. Time with Janie.
Yes. Okay, any kids? Okay. Well, good morning, guys. I've already seen you. This is pretty cool. Okay, so today, so we have something here called resurrection power. Yippee. Not like those other guys you might hear about, like, you know, I'm old, so I remember the Superman. I don't remember Captain America, although I hear about that one because of a kid at home. But, okay. However, but those people, you know, like with Superman, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound, has nothing whatsoever to do with the power that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As we read, it's immeasurable and it's great. And it was the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Have you ever thought about that tomb? Because when the light came, the light came from inside and blew out the stone. Isn't that the coolest thing? And when you think of that, because of his power, we are able to be able to love those who aren't lovely. We're able to be kind to those who aren't kind. We're able to wave to Grandpa. Cool. Kids are great at this age. Okay, so we have this power in us too as we go about our lives because Jesus lives within us. So we have that same kind of power so that we can do good when we don't really necessarily want to. Have you ever heard of doing that? You know, your sister does something and you just want to let her know how you feel about it. But you don't, because you know that could cause other problems. Sorry, I need water. My water Okay, so I have this for you. It is showing Christ at the resurrection, and see, the stone has been blown away. Here's the gunner. Glad to have you guys.
Do you have permission?
Good job. Kids of all ages. So let us pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you so much that your power lives within us. As we go forth today, let us always remember that when we just feel that little inkling that, boy, I would like to punch that person's lights out, that we refrain from that because you give us the power to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come before the Lord in prayer and continue and on this Memorial Day, and even those things that are heaviest upon our shoulders, our minds, the Lord knows. Let us come before him humbly and just leave it with him. So Heavenly Father, we do come before you, echoing Pastor Gary's prayers and even more, just honoring the fallen, remembering and what it was all about. And we pray for veterans as well, and some that may even be here this morning that suffered through much. They offered themselves. They did not fall in the same way as those we're honoring today, but we pray for their health. Those battling ailments or PTSD from being in war. The Lord be with the families, the loved ones, as those in all the armed forces will be honored in parades and maybe some online. But we pray, Lord, that the streets would be filled in an amazing way tomorrow, and some happen next weekend as well. Fill the streets for the honoring of the fallen, giving great thanks to you. And Lord, we pray your healing touch upon a number of names that we've been lifting up, and maybe others that come to mind, and you know all the concerns, Lord, and we pray a miracle for these individuals. We praise you with the Berkeley family for Sandy's Aunt Marie and the good news that's come along, but continue to be with Joe's father during this time. We rejoice with Lucille and the Malloy family over Adeline and just the successful surgery, and looking forward to a complete removal of the trach this summer. We pray for Dan Whitney, who goes in for a pretty serious surgery on a muscle torn in his arm on Thursday. So encourage him. Be with the doctors. He's in your hands, Lord, during this time. And for Millie Cunningham, continue strengthening and keep her heart strong, Lord. We're thankful that she's able to be at home with her daughter now after her procedure, her heart procedure. And Lord, the request from B. Bothroyd for this 16-year-old Kendra. We don't know all the situations, Lord, but we pray that you have worked out the details going forward with her heart condition. We pray your healing touch upon Kendra, your mighty hand to uphold her, Lord, and her family during this time. And for Marty and David, friends of Brenda, we pray for Marty's continued healing with the broken arm, and for David facing so much with the melanoma and other health challenges, Lord. Be with him. Be with them both. Encourage them. And Lord, whatever that personal request is upon our heart this morning, something that we just can't get away from feeling overwhelmed about, we know we're not to fear. We can trust in you in all respects, Lord. Help us to do that fully, sufficiently, to trust in you, O Lord, today. So we leave those major concerns with you today, Lord. Wouldn't you just take care of them today, Lord? We just leave it into your hands. We're so thankful. And Lord, we're reminded to keep praying for a handful of families expecting babies. For Christy and Mike Barrett, Kiara and Zach DeBishop, for Maya and Glenn Corlett, Jordan and Emily Gomes, Courtney and Chris Ayer. There may be more, but we just, we thank you and we look forward to blessing these little ones. Oh, and that reminds me too, we look so forward to little Addie Malloyd, who will be baptized here this summer. We will lift her up and ask your blessing upon her along with all these other babies, Lord. You are so good. You are so good. Oh, Heavenly Father, may your presence be known today, your love, your grace, your mercy, your ways trusted completely. Even when darkness seems to be encroaching all around, we know that your light still shines brightly. Nothing will snuff out your light. Even if finances are challenged, Lord, you are sufficient. You are enough. But we do pray for those who are hurting and suffering financially. And let me jump back and lift up Trish Orporto today too, Lord, with the, I mean, most of us know she's been battling seizures and it's gotten worse, Lord. We pray a touch of your hand upon her head, her brain, where that source is, Lord. We thank you for the doctors there in Cleveland, and just be with her and going forward. Help her to trust in you, Lord, that you are with her. Bless Lou and the girls. And for Christy Grabber and her foot surgery, thank you for so many helping out with meals during this time, and just encourage her in this recovery time. And Vic Whaley's brother, Dennis, we pray for him as well. Been a request for that. It's good to pause in your presence, Lord. We trust in you. Set us free to worship you fully every day in all that we do. Lift this virus, Lord. We're so close. We're so close. We believe. We wait upon you, Lord. We await great celebration to arise. To God be the glory. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you. We're so thankful. So thankful. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you name this musical?
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
2/3 of you know it. What is it, Don? Godspell. Yeah, very good. It's the 50th anniversary. May 17th, 1971, a day before you turned six, honey. Right? Is the math right? It was the first off-Broadway production. Godspell. It's the 50th year anniversary. I just love that. It's a jubilee. A jubilee year. It's awesome. Where did you first see Godspell? And the kids, you probably haven't seen it. It's worth a look. I mean, there's the original movie. That was what I saw first with a trailblazer group, actually, from Winnetka, or Wilmette, Winnetka Covenant Church. We went to North Park University and saw this. It changed my life forever. I mean, Jesus had a Superman shirt on, and it was hippie outfits, and it was rock and roll music. I mean, there's nothing better than that. But in the original movie, I mean, the setting, the wardrobe, everything. The contemporary nature of it all and Jesus. But the setting was outside. It was in parks. It was in streets. They were transforming. Wherever they went, everything changed. Lives changed. People changed. The environment changed. God's incredible love poured out. You know, Jesus, we know that, but in Godspell, is so approachable, so loving, and so merciful, so patient. God drawing many to him, his powerful love changing hearts. To me, that, you know, may Godspell come alive in our streets and our areas. I mean, if revival breaks out, and when it does, it's going to be like that. You know, not the Superman shirts, but it will change everything. It really will. It'll be outside the churches. Not that the churches won't experience it, but it needs to impact everything. You know, no longer just in the four walls. It needs to spill out into the streets. I hadn't planned on singing Prepare the Way of the Lord. That worked out pretty well, huh? That sounded okay, at least in my ear. But I love all the songs, you know, most of them. Many of them, 99% of them. You know, there's one always that's like, oh, gosh, I don't want to. Oh, Turn Back, Old Man. That just makes me kind of cringe all the time. Those, you know, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean. But one of the songs I love is Day by Day. You know, it's a female voice that originally sings it, and men sing it as well. But there's three things that she prays. You remember those? Day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, three things I pray. See thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. All right, let's get it going out in the streets now, okay? Right. And that's when the drum starts kicking in and it really gets going. But, oh, I love it. I'll just say this too. One time, well, I write a little bit about it in the June Contact, but the best performance I saw of it was incredible, was a youth theater. I don't know if you know this, Dave, a youth theater down in Naugatuck, and it was in one of the churches on the green. Maybe it was 15 years ago. I don't know. It was powerful. All these young people, and it just... And I don't know if they did it there, but in some productions, when they're at the end of the musical, they'll have communion, you know, in a theater, or, you know, sometimes like, well, wow, wait a minute, are they letting anybody and everybody do that, or is it just at a church? Or it was just, you know, I remember partaking, and it was powerful. And I guess for those of you who've been in the production, it's even more powerful and life transforming. But, okay. This morning, we find Paul praying for the Ephesians. We could even say that he's saying, three things I pray, that you would know these things, the benefits of being in Christ, And he continues to pray for them. And we'll get into that. But the prayer is Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. It's a prayer of thanksgiving. It's one long sentence. You know, Paul has a way of doing that. He writes on and on and on. But that's the way it is. And I mentioned this before, and it's in the contact. It was in the bulletin last week. That we can't read the rest of Ephesians without looking back and studying and reading again and praying again the doxology. Just like we sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's our doxology. Praising God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Paul writes a doxology that connects to the rest of the Ephesians. So we need to be reading through that. And actually, the call to worship today was most of the doxology. And that, there's a key verse too. So keep reading, praying through it weekly as we prepare our hearts for the sermons each week. Verse 3 is the key verse in all of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. It's on the front of the bulletin in short. You know, it's an amazing thing. Do we know the benefits that we have of being in Christ, meaning believing in Christ? You know, it's like we are at home with him in his house. We are in Christ. It's his home. It's his domain. And there are benefits, and they all come from God. Now, Ephesians is the only Pauline letter to combine a doxology and then a prayer of thanksgiving, you know, back to back. And we know that the doxology is important, for in the original language, in verse 15, it says, for this reason is the first wording. For this reason, I give thanks and praise to God for, you know, your faith and how it pours out in love for all the saints. For this reason, the doxology. So we need to know that. All right, enough about that. Except that the doxology motivates everything else in the letter. And how about Psalm 103 that was read this morning? Wow. It concurs with the doxology, all the blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget none of his benefits. I mean, it was mentioned forgiveness, healing, redeeming our past. Oh, how we need that. His love and compassion, all good things, renewing our youth like the eagle. A just judge, loving, slow to anger, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He does not treat us according to how, you know, the sin in our life. A compassionate father on all those who fear him. So Paul, he's singing, he's saying, three things I pray for you continually. And it is, I keep on asking is the original language. I keep on asking. I don't want you to miss this. I keep on asking. Sometimes we need to pray and confess over our lives and over others again and again. It's a benefit that God has already given them. He wants them to know these blessings, the benefits. Paul believes that they will receive it. They will have what he is asking. And as they pray about it as well, it will activate all the benefits of what it means to be in Christ in accordance with God's will. For us, believing in who God says we are the toughest on ourselves, church. We really are. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. He has so much for us, taking hold of all that he has for us. You know, that activation of the benefits. Some of you, because of your work, you have amazing benefits. We need to always tap into what's available for us spiritually. Living them out in a worthy manner. That's the theme of this Ephesians series, to live in a worthy manner. So Paul's prayer, verse 17, he says this first. 17 through 19 are his prayer, the three requests. Verse 17, I keep asking, there it is, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the true knowledge of him. Paul is asking that God will give to them his revealing spirit by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who reveals the truth, reminds us of the truth. He counsels us, but he wants them to know the fullness of that. Their spiritual eyes opened. If we ask for this, God answers. The blind will see. To see more clearly. You know, to see more clearly. We all need that. We want that. That's what he's asking. But that kind of frames the three things Paul prays or sings, 18 to 19. Here they are. To know the hope of God's calling on their life. Two, to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And three, to know God's incomparably great power. And nice message for the kids there, Janie. So first, having their spiritual eyes open so that they will know the hope of God's calling. And that's not about being called to full-time ministry. It's a call that God has on all of our life as his children that he wants us to know. Because I created each and every one of you in my image and likeness, God is saying, I am called you to be my representative wherever you are. And there's so much that I have for you that you can tap into to see that through. Verse 4, back in chapter 1, we've all been chosen before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless before God. That's number one. You know, that's a part of God's call. God's call makes positive changes in our lives for the future. And he has so much for us to be a part of. You know, the hope of his calling. You know, in the world around us, there's no hope. You know, without God, there is no hope. There's hopelessness. And there's Christian hope changes how we live. Moule says, hope is defined as faith standing on tiptoe. We need to get up on our tiptoes. That's what hope is in faith. We've prayed for my sister Kim a little bit. I've been praying over and over, and I didn't lift her up in prayer today, but God knows. Maybe some of you did. She lives in Colorado. She lives with a significant other, Matt, for many years. I mean, they are as if they're married, but they're not. She has many health struggles, and not to get into any of that. But please keep her in your prayers. She's lost all hope. You know, I wish she hadn't shared with my mom that sometimes she just wants to end it all. And that's just, you know, she's hard to be in contact with. It's few and far between, but she will respond to a text here and there. Her doctors have failed her. That's her view. She's failed herself in so many ways and just has no hope, causing guilt and shame in her life. She does not believe that Jesus is the only way, truth, and the life. She's dabbled in a lot of things, but someday she will know that. She grew up learning that. Please pray that Kim's hope will be restored. When we think of the world, you know, those of unbelief apart from God, our culture offers no basis for hope. Meaninglessness is known. Hope is not. Death haunts everybody. You know, for all of its advantages, our society is frayed and has problems so enormous we've given up on solving them. You know, I think it's true that the elderly read the obituaries first. I've been starting to do that more and more, it seems. And the young have lost a sense of hope, of making a difference, or of being successful. One of my favorite professors, retired Klein Snodgrass, I've quoted him before. He says this: God's work in Christ addresses our meaninglessness, the problem of evil and death. Death is not the end. We can look forward to a happy ending of life with God. Hope is a positive force. God has built a bridge from no hope to hope in his creation of life in the midst of death. Paul views God's work in the resurrection as a cosmic event that has changed the course of history. He prayed, therefore, that the people might know what God's call meant for their future, and therefore, for their present, that it would impact their present life on this earth. God has called us to be among his future people. Hope changes everything and becomes the basis from which we live in the present. It's time to get up on our tiptoes. Do we know the hope of God's calling on our life? Second, Paul prays that the Ephesians will know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Well, that's a mouthful. The riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. There's two parts of this. And the first part is the main part. Titus 2:4 says about God who gave himself, or about Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So we are God's inheritance. You know, his love for us and what, you know, our faith, and when we come home ultimately to be with him forever one day, we are his treasure, his possession. There's unique worth in this. There's a specialness about it. We have been made God's own people. We are his inheritance. God cherishes you and me. You are his own. But it also, I mean, along with that, refers to what we will receive in Christ and what we've received right now on this earth in Christ. And it will be fully completed one day with the Lord. It's referring to the wealth of the glory of all that he has in store for us. The price was paid in full for the gifts of God. They are purchased with the blood of Jesus. God is rich in mercy, grace, love, and power. He is full of goodness, patience, glory, and blessings. He promises to answer prayer, to heal, to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to pour out spiritual blessing. So we need to start drawing from our inheritance today. Charles Spurgeon, these three things that Paul's praying, he calls them the what is, to know what is the hope of God's calling, to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. But he wrote this about the verse: there is honor, glory, and immortality in Christ, and it is to be had for the asking. It is to be had by simply believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Will you not have it? Oh, false hand that is not stretched out to receive it. Oh, false heart that does not pray for it. God grant you to know what is the riches of the inheritance in the saints, that you may seek to be a part in that inheritance. You know, and seek it now. I love that. So to know the hope of God's calling on our life and to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And third, Paul prays that the Ephesians will know the surpassing greatness of God's great power for those who believe. Boy, they're just so many words about greatness and strength and power. You will know the surpassing greatness of God's great power for those who believe. That power is unmatched. It's unequaled. It's unrivaled. In 19b through 20, it's in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. What a picture you gave, Janie, of that resurrection power that was from within. And that rock probably did blow off and scare those guards, right? But Christ seated in the heavenly realms. He has the victory over all spiritual forces, all powers. Whatever power exists is under Christ's subjection. Everything's been defeated upon the cross through his death and resurrection. We'll look at more of this in the weeks ahead. But for Paul in resurrection power, Philippians 3, 7 through 8, he wanted nothing more, nothing else. First priority was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. He was transformed. He wrote that after he had already had this life-changing experience, but he knew his own humanity, that he needed Christ's power to be all that God wanted him to be. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. He also talked about, an enter into his suffering, knowing all that Christ had done for him. Why should he not suffer as well? So his prayer, Paul, in Ephesians, is for the same outcome, that they would know God's incomparably great power through his son, resurrection power, to tap into it. There's life in it, to live more abundant, to live more free, to display his glory, to follow him more nearly, if you will. Not just to see more clearly, but to follow more nearly. When you think about the sun that shines and its quickening rays and the warmth as buds are coming out in this time, and yes, all the allergens, that don't make us feel alive, but something comes alive in the noses, that's for sure. But just the flowers, the even seeds under the ground that, the sun is so great of a power and a quickening agent, though those seeds will just burst forth. They feel the warmth of the sun, even below the surface, a reviving warmth, they burst forth. Such is the risen Christ. His resurrection power is a quickening in our hearts and our souls, our lives, the life-giving power. All the power that there is in Christ is there for us as believers. You said that as well, Janie. Because he lives, you shall also live. So today, kind of bringing it all together here, the context for a lot of Ephesians has to do with love. The love there is in Christ. The love that people have for one another. The love in a church. The love we need to have for those who are even unloving, in the world. But what's relevant is think about how much God loves us, what he's done to demonstrate his love. We've talked about that today. But how deep, how wide, how vast, how great the Father's love is. It took the greatest sacrifice ever. Behold, the Lamb of God. The Holy Spirit wants to continue to reveal to us how great the Father's love, and how great our love can and needs to be sacrificially. And that realization is like those lights turning on, those spiritual eyes. Paul's prayer that your spiritual eyes would be open, that we would see more clearly. So what God expects of us is to demonstrate his power-filled love in all our relationships, especially when it's difficult. We lead first with love. Sometimes we lead first with I'm going to get you. I love you, but I'm going to get you. No, we lead first with love. A willingness to lay it all on the line, to sacrifice for God, for others. To love thee more dearly, if you will. Wow, it's all coming together, isn't it? And for this, where brokenness and sin and hurt and even evil has brought a death-like experience and reality in relationships in our life. We know what that feels like. Something is dying. It's dying. God's love poured out, though, in full through his vessels will bring about a resurrected life. Relationships, family ties, church unity. It's like up from the dead. You know, where there's more willingness to love and forgive, and, you know, and God's healing balm just comes in. You know, maybe you need that healing balm in your life. It's, you know, it comes from the resurrection power of God to love even until it hurts, and love when we don't want to. We need to seek Christ and this power. We cannot do it on our own. Lord, I don't want to, but I will. Help me. Let us be unbound, set free to fully love, no matter what. Even if we're rejected, Jesus was rejected. God will never reject or forsake you or me. And yes, Paul was blown away by the faith of the Ephesians, verse 15. Their faith that poured out in love. Jews and Gentiles trying to learn how to do life, spiritual life together. What it means, how is it accomplished? But it was faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his name, that led to loving unconditionally for all the saints. And we'll see in chapter 4 that this is, in the original language, it's called truthing in love. It's love in action, but it's truthing in love. So we'll look more at that. But how will we respond? How will we act? How will we pray? Well, day by day. Oh, dear Lord, three things I pray: to see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. The Lord is revealing to us more and more the hope of his calling on our life. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for you and me to love, even the unlovable, to truth and love. Let us receive this, because we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. There is great power to change us all and to change the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we just give you thanks for all you have done for us to bring us into you. We are your possession. May our hearts just reflect that. You've given us life in eternal context in your kingdom. We need to know to let go of the worldly stuff that tells us to fight. We don't want to fight. We want to see your glory in the heavenly realms. We thank you, Lord, that you have persisted in your patience to bring us to this place. All we have was given to us from you, that we give back to you all that we have, however that works out. We just give you thanks and praise that we are able to give into the kingdom, and the blessings proceed from there to bless each and every one who is yours and all those you're calling to come. Let us be prepared for that in those moments. So we thank you, Lord, as we offer up our offerings this morning. Let everyone stand for our doxology. Amen.
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.